Welcome to the March 21st, 2010 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Executive Director of the Women's Missionary Union of North Carolina, Ruby Fulbright. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Now, y'all have had way more sleep than I have, so I know that y'all could do a better good morning than that. Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. We are so excited that you have joined us for worship this morning. It's a great day to be together. Several announcements that we'll make as we get started. We would like to find out who is in worship this morning. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike. If you could write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, that helps us find out who is in worship this morning. Then once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started, we ask a couple things. Members, this is an opportunity to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew that you can introduce yourself at the end of the service. Also, when the pew pad gets back to the first person who filled it out this morning, if you could just tear out the pages that were used that so our ushers can collect those at the end of service, that would be extremely helpful. So thank you for letting us know that you were in worship this morning. Just a few announcements that we'll make. We have children's time today. That's when all the children will come down right after hymn number 204. We're going to meet right down here for just a few minutes for children's time. All the children are welcome to come and be a part of that. I need to say a big thank you to our Baptist men and our WMU. They provided our youth with lunch this weekend. Our youth were on a retreat in Clemens, part of the CBF, North Carolina's General Assembly. We did some mission work in Winston-Salem downtown yesterday. Had a great weekend. We got up this morning at Camp Marywood out in Clemens. We're tired, but it's been a great weekend. Some of our youth have already gone home. They're probably already napping. But it was a great weekend. We thank the Baptist men and the WMU for their giving of the lunch that we had, Saturday lunch. Very thankful for that. It's been a great weekend. We're glad to be in worship this morning. And we are thankful for College Park and the opportunity they give us to go and do retreats like this, and for forgiving me for not being in my suit. This is the best I could do this morning, and just glad to be here to be a part of worship with College Park. Let's see, Jason wanted me to remind everybody there will be the Fearless small groups have ended, but there are some other things that are happening. On Wednesday night, we have a study for parents of children. The five love languages of children happens every Wednesday night in our coffee house, the Holy Grounds Coffee House, which meets in the basement of the chapel building. And so we'd love to have you be a part of that discussion every Wednesday night. We kind of get started around 6:30 and enjoy coffee and fellowship, and the conversation picks up from there. And it is a great time for parents of children every Wednesday night. Other things that you'll see listed there in your bulletin, upcoming events. We are a week away from Holy Week. Things that you want to pay attention to for that. Tonight there will be no youth activities, but other things are listed there, opportunities for the week. I think that's all the announcements. Is that it? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information just a few moments ago on the pew pad. We appreciate you doing that. That lets us know who you are and gives us a little bit of information about you. But if you're a guest, if you could just raise your hand, or ushers are coming back down the aisles now. Just as a guest, raise your hand. They would like to give some information to you. A packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. And a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being with us this morning, and we pray that God would speak to you in a mighty way during this hour of worship. Okay, I think that's it. We are here to do what we were made to do, to worship God with everything that we have. Let's not miss this opportunity that God will come into this place and meet with you and me. He has something to do in us and through us if we would just listen. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. With all that I am within, I worship you, Lord. Let that be the cry that you hear from this sanctuary, our Father. May everything that we have this morning be given to you. Come into this place. We want you here. We need you here to speak to us, to show us that you are there, to change us, to mold us, to forgive us. Come, be in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Come on. You got all the kids to come down? It's your birthday. All right. Here comes Tomas. All right. I have something I'm going to tell you. I don't know if ever told you this before. Ever. You may know this. I don't know. But do you know that I wear contacts?
No.
Yes. Have you ever seen a contact? Have you ever seen one? I'm going to show you what a contact looks like.
My mom had some.
All right. Now, I need you. I'm going to, ooh. It's very tiny. Very thin. Okay. This is an old pair, so it's all right. I'm not going to put this in my eye. All right. This is what a contact looks like. You ever seen one of these? Go on your eye. They stick right on your eye. You see that? Can you see it? Yeah, there are some things that go on your teeth, but that's another children's time. But what do contacts do? Tyler? They enhance your vision. So if something was wrong with my vision, I couldn't see clearly. You remember you go to school and you have the eye doctor come in, you gotta cover your eye and you gotta say that's E and that's F and that's A. Have you had to do that before?
Yeah.
Check your vision? Well, when I checked my vision, I was like really bad. I couldn't see. And so they put these contacts, they make them a certain way, and I put them in my eye. And I can see Christian. And I can see Bryson has had a birthday. All right. March is a good month, isn't it, Bryson? March is a great month. Yeah, it's a great month. Any March birthdays out there? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We've got to, yeah.
Basketball season.
We're not talking about basketball season. Okay. State and Wake fans are not talking about basketball season today. All right. But here's what contacts do. They help me see clearly. Why is that important? Why is it important for you and I to see clearly? What do you think? See the board at school?
Yes.
What else?
To see what letters there are.
See what letters there are? You got to be able to see it. That's right.
So you don't bump into walls.
Sam, has that happened a lot at your house? Why are you shaking your head, Tammy? Okay. So here's why. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Perfect example. This morning, do you know where I was this morning?
Where?
I was at camp with the youth this morning. Now, I had to drive here in the big church bus with all the youth in there. What if I didn't have my contacts in?
You would have crashed.
I would have crashed. And would have people been sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had crashed. And yes, it'd been bad for me. It's important. That's right. I could see the road. I can know where to drive. The Bible tells us that just like the contacts, that Jesus, in order to see Him clearly, that we have to open up the Bible. And that He is who we need to be looking for and looking at. Sometimes we need to put these contacts in our eyes to be able to see clearly. And what I want you and I to do is to think about today is, what is your goal? What's that thing that you're looking for? What's that thing at school, you know, when you want to do the right thing? How do you know when to do the right thing and what the right thing is? How do you know?
With your brain.
With your brain. That's right. You read the Bible. You listen to your mom and your dad. They teach you what's right. And then when you go out into school and you treat people the right way, it's like I have to put my contacts in to see the right thing to do and the right place to go. That's what contacts are for. That's what we're going to talk about today. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Okay? Yes. All right? Can you help me do that? Stay focused. Now think about the next time you put a contact in, or you see somebody put a contact in, they're focusing on what we're supposed to do. That's what we need to do. Okay?
Let's pray together. Let's pray together. God, we love you. And we thank you for the fact that you gave us your word. You gave us the Bible to help us understand what we need to do. Help us to focus in on Jesus. The Bible tells us all that we need to know. And we thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seat.
As Jeff said, we are close to Easter. And as we journey through Lent, it's good for us to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ and the eternal promise of God. Hear this call to confession from Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. In your order of worship is printed a prayer of confession. Let us share this prayer of confession together responsibly. O God, you have shown us the way of life through your Son, Jesus. We confess with shame our slowness to learn of him, our failure to follow him, and our reluctance to bear the cross. Have mercy on us, Lord, and forgive us. We confess the poverty of our worship, our neglect of fellowship and of the means of grace, our hesitating witness for Christ, our evasion of responsibilities in our service, our imperfect stewardship of your gifts. Have mercy on us, Lord, and forgive us. Amen. And an assurance of pardon from Colossians 2. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. This is the word of God for you and for me. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, thanks be to God.
Just recently in Sunday school, we've been studying parables, and one of the parables was the mustard seed and how such a little seed can grow to something so large and produce so much. And that's the challenge we have, to take what we make and make so much more of it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the gifts you constantly bestow upon us. Thank you for the gifts that you gave us this weekend for our youth to enjoy a retreat and to fellowship with others and to learn more about you and hopefully to show others more about you. And thank you for the gift of this weekend, the warm weather, and the chance for all of us to get out in our yards and work in our gardens and to enjoy the nature around us. And continue to bless us, dear Lord, and to bless us with the ability to give freely to you and to use these gifts that they may honor your name and do so much for so many others that have such little hope for life. And help us to give them more hope through our giving. In your most gracious name, amen.
Our speaker this morning is going to be Ruby Fulbright, the Executive Director of WMU of North Carolina. Ruby is aware of College Park and how mission-minded we are as a church. She knows that we participate church-wide in local and distant mission projects. She knows that we seek to be followers of Christ. She is married. She has 3 children and 4 grandchildren. I call Ruby a seasoned missionary. That means experienced. She has served in Zambia, Africa for 12 years with the International Mission Board. She has also been on mission trips to Brazil, East Africa, South Africa, Myanmar, and in the United States, she's been to Alaska, Ohio, Massachusetts, and New York. She has held offices in several Baptist associations in North Carolina. She has served on the Wake Forest Committee for the Petit Scholarship. She's also a recipient of the Ann Neal Armstrong Award for Outstanding Contributions for Women's Missions. She's a certified Christian leadership coach and has led prayer and spiritual growth retreats. And through WMU, she has been a director of ACT Teens. She's worked with all ages in missions. Through the teachings of the Bible, she believes that children, youth, and all adults need experiences of being missionaries. And so we are really happy and pleased and honored to have Ruby come bring our message today.
Thank you, Pat, and thank you for the opportunity to worship with you this morning. I have truly worshiped, and I appreciate that. I also appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning, and I want to thank your pastor for giving up his time. I'm married to a preacher, and I know how hard that is for them to do that. So thank you, Reverend Smith, for that. I want to read one verse of Scripture for you. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and will probably be a familiar passage to most of you, but from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The Broad Street Methodist Church opened its doors to receive Southern Baptist women who came to Richmond for their meeting in 1888. The delegates were determined to unite their missionary zeal into one concerted effort to propagate the gospel among the heathen. Various emotions filled their hearts. Some of these women were very timid and doubtful of their plans, but others were very bold and confident. The tie that brought them together, however, and that would eventually mold them into a singleness of purpose, was their love for God and their desire to share that love with all the world. Well, a lot has happened since May 14, 1888, when it comes to Women's Missionary Union. A lot has happened in North Carolina since 1886. For those of you who may not know, WMU actually began in North Carolina before the national organization. But what hasn't changed is that singleness of purpose, our love for God, and our desire to share that love with all the world. What has changed through the years is how we go about nurturing our love for God and sharing His love with the world. As we have traveled this Christian journey, this journey of a lifetime, we have set out on a way of life that hopefully informs and transforms every facet of our experience. We don't always know what lies ahead. God just says, trust me and follow me. And for nearly 125 years, God has been faithful to lead Women's Missionary Union to do amazing things. Now I want to give you a quiz. Some of you, this is a quiz. Others of you, maybe this is new information. It's a history lesson. How many of you know that WMU actually was the first to organize the promotion of Sunday school? Good. How many of you know that Vacation Bible School was actually started by WMU? Some of you know that. Do you know that WMU actually set up the first church loan fund, which is now operated by the North American Mission Board? Did you know that on several occasions, WMU had to pay off the indebtedness of both the Foreign Mission Board and the North American Mission Board? Now, I don't know what the men were doing with the money, but the women kept having to bail them out. And we did all that while functioning as a supporter of, a helper to, a resource for Baptist churches. And in North Carolina, for all North Carolina Baptist churches. WMU of North Carolina says that our purpose is to challenge, prepare, and equip Christian believers to be radically involved in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. But I wonder if we really understand what that means. Do we really understand that word radical? Do we really know how the world looks through the eyes of poverty, oppression, and hunger? Do we really know how the world looks to those who strive to live for Christ in countries of the world that are most inhospitable to the gospel? And do we really have any idea, unless we've been, what the people of Haiti are experiencing? Oh, we think we know. We hear stories from missionaries. We read books and articles in the newspaper. We even go on mission trips. But do we really know? A young woman was traveling through India and worshipped on a Sunday morning in a little illegal underground church. It was her last Sunday to be with these people, and so she said to them, "Do you have any questions you would like to ask me before I return to the United States?" The people were hesitant at first, but then one of them asked this question: "Did you ever go hungry because you are a Christian?" The young woman said no. And then they asked, "Did you ever have your house taken away?" "No," said the young woman. "Did you ever have stones thrown at you because you are a Christian? Or have you ever been thrown into the fire?" The young woman said, "No, no, in America that never happens. It's against the law for people to be thrown out of their homes or to be stoned or to lose their job because of their faith." The people in that little church could hardly believe it. And then one of them said, "Well, if it doesn't cost you anything, how do you know you are a Christian?" The first time I heard that story, I had to ask myself, well, if we in America had to suffer that kind of persecution, would we still claim to be Christians? Perhaps some of us would. I'm afraid a lot of us would not. I've heard the missionary stories. I served as a missionary in Zambia. I've held dying children in my arms. I've been on numerous other mission trips. I've worked in soup kitchens and shelters. And after each one of my experiences, I have cried tears that I thought would never cease to flow because I was so moved by what others were having to experience. But you know what happens? Before long, I'm in my own world of piles of mail and email and telephone messages to return. I've got places I've got to be and articles to write and messages to prepare. And then it dawns on me that days have gone by, and those people who had moved me profoundly and had moved me to tears had not crossed my mind's eye, and I had forgotten to pray. What is wrong with me? Does being a Christian not cost me enough? That's a question that WMU began asking ourselves over 4 years ago. We felt that God had us on a new path in our journey. We had a sense that He was shaking us up and that the Holy Spirit was tugging at our hearts. There seemed to be a world with more and more hurt and need, and a church culture that just didn't seem to be getting the job done. We spent some time celebrating our history and our heritage, but more importantly, deepening our commitment to birthing the new, not just managing the present. It has been a wonderful experience as we begin to see many opportunities of missions. For those of you who pay attention to Baptist life, we've had our challenges as well. But God has opened new doors of opportunity for us in missions. But not only was WMU of North Carolina shaken up, I myself had to reflect on my own calling and my own beliefs. You see, I believe that the church should be a visible sign of the reign and the kingdom of God. I believe that God is still active in the transformation of individuals and nations into holiness. But God's transformation of me and of you only takes place when I am obedient to Christ. When I am truly obedient, then my values and my behavior result in my reaching out to touch hurting people, people that are different than me, touching them with a compassionate heart and a compassionate hand in real, tangible ways that express the unconditional, steadfast, agape love of our Father. And so, I took part in a poverty simulation. I was told to come for a women's retreat. So I packed up all that stuff we women think we have to spend the night somewhere else. The first thing I was told to do when I got there was that I would have to exchange the clothes that I was wearing for what I could find in a thrift shop. They gave us a certain amount of time, and I found what I could wear, and that's what I would wear for the next 30 hours. And then they took everything else away except three things. I could choose to keep three things. I chose to keep my jacket, my sleeping bag, and a pack of gum. And then they took everything. I mean everything. My cell phone, my keys, my makeup. Everything except the three things that I could keep. And then of the 23 of us that were together, we had to draw straws, and two drew a short straw, and they had to give back their three things. Well, I felt sorry for one of them, so I gave my sleeping bag away. Then they gave us $40 of play money. And this is what I would use to buy any food that I would eat. And if I wanted to spend the night in the church, I'd have to pay $20. Well, that was half my money. I was afraid I'd run out of food money. So I decided that I would spend the night on Friday night on a picnic table in downtown Raleigh. Was I scared? A little. Was I cold? Some. Was I uncomfortable? A lot. A lot physically, because I'm not used to sleeping on a picnic table. But more, I was emotionally and mentally and spiritually. Because you see, I heard the sounds of the night. I experienced the policemen in the park, the sirens. I heard the cries. And I realized that on other tables, and under bushes were people who would not go home the next night and sleep in a warm bed. And many of them were women and children. On Saturday morning, we spent time interacting with the homeless. They didn't know why we were there or who we were, but they knew we were strangers. We found out where they could use the restroom or take a shower. And there are restrooms near the bus station, but because of a ruckus on Friday night, those had been closed. We found out how hard it was to get transportation to the hospital or to a clinic. And we found out how cruel people on the street could be. The most hateful person of my whole weekend was a man who obviously had money, would not give me a dollar for a bus ticket. And I chased him down the street, and he still wouldn't give me a dollar. We had to find something that we could recycle for money to buy food. And I hit the jackpot because, you see, outside a bar on Saturday morning after Friday night. So if you see pictures of me carrying two Budweiser boxes full of beer cans and bottles, they're for real. But the complexities of the poor to get to the recycling plant to exchange what I had gathered for money is too far to walk from downtown Raleigh to outside where the recycling plant is. The homeless community were protective of me because I was an older woman, and they would ask me questions like, "Don't you have any children or grandchildren who'll take care of you?" And the question that hurt the most, "Don't you know any church people who will help you?" It is true, some of those that are homeless are there because they choose to be there. Perhaps they don't want to give up their alcohol or their drug addiction. But some are there because they made a poor decision. Or perhaps in the case of many of the women and children, someone else made a poor decision on their behalf. Now, why did I do that? Well, bringing awareness to the needs of the poor and the complexities of those who live in poverty is a new initiative of WMU of North Carolina. And as executive director, I need to know what's going on. But it was more than that. It was an understanding that the whole goal of missions is not just to win people to Christ, but to take an active part in God's redemptive plan in the world. You see, I want my life to be an outpouring of my love of Jesus Christ. I want everything that I say and do to be a reflection of my understanding of God in the way of Jesus. I want my thoughts and my actions to be intentional. And I don't want missions just to be what I do. I want it to be who I am. You see, actions of missions are not things that you do. They should be an everyday natural part of who we are when we claim to be Christ followers. Nancy is 10 years old and a member of GA in her church. Nancy met a new friend named Megan. You see, Megan came to live next door to Nancy. And Megan had come to live with her grandmother because Megan's own home was abusive. Nancy became her friend. And one day Nancy said to the GA leader, "Can I bring Megan to GA's?" And the leader said, "Of course you can." And Megan began to come. And then she came to Sunday school. And then she came to worship. And one day, Megan asked Jesus to live in her heart. And then Megan said, "I have another friend who doesn't know Jesus. Can I bring her to GA?" You see, evangelism brought about by missions education, two little girls who really understood that missions was not just something they did, it was who they are. Missions education is probably one of the best things that we do in WMU of North Carolina. And I think it's important because it's through the learning and the doing that we begin to understand God's heart for the world and His love for all the nations and find our place in His plan. But there's another reason why missions education is so important. You see, those of us who are missions leaders today are responsible for the missions leaders of the future. Every year in September, WMU of North Carolina sponsors a retreat for women inmates. We've been doing it for over 30 years. And from three of the correctional facilities across North Carolina, about 100 women come to Camp Mundo Vista for 3 days of Bible study and good food and fun and volunteers who love on them. And every year, we have women who accept Christ as their Savior. We even had a few security guards that have done that. But an amazing thing began happening a few years ago. Women whose lives were changed at that retreat, who are now living on the outside, began calling us and saying, "We want to volunteer our time. Can we come? And we'll give up our vacation time. We'll pay our way. Just let us come and share. We know those women, and we want to share the difference Christ can make in their lives when they're on the outside." Providing networks for professional women, for young women. Poverty awareness and involvement. Building habitat houses. providing mission trip opportunities specifically designed to target women and children using the unique gifts of women, beginning a new leadership course in partnership with Campbell University Divinity School, providing camping experiences for all ages, are just a few of the things that WMU of North Carolina is involved in. But because we are a grassroots organization, it is your involvement in missions education, mission support, and missions involvement that help North Carolina still be the largest WMU in all of the states. It is your gifts and your contributions that allow us to be a resource for you. And I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your prayers and your gifts to us. But most especially, I want to thank you for being the presence of Christ in this community and even around the world. Because you see, as Paul reminds us, it is what we were created for. Would you pray for me? Dear Father, we are so very grateful that one day someone shared with us your love through Jesus Christ. And Father, you have called us to be radically involved in the fulfillment of your mission in the world. And we need your help. We need first for you to help us to understand. We need for you to help us to embrace. We need you to help us to live what we claim we are before a lost and hurting world. Would you speak to us this morning? Help us to recommit to the calling you've placed on our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sing a song. The hymn is Set My Soul Afire. I pray that as you've taken in worship this morning, as you've approached the Father in worship, that your heart has been changed as a result of your act of worship, that your heart has been challenged by Ruby's words and ultimately the words that Christ has placed upon your heart, the calling he's placed upon your heart this morning. So the invitation is kind of multidimensional. First of all, if you're here and you're not a believer, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the invitation in just a moment. And the way you would do that is come, and I'll be glad to talk with you, share how you can pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here and you go, Raymond, I'm a believer, but maybe I just haven't been quite living out my faith in a way that others can see, and so therefore Christ has not been able to use me like he could if I were more faithful. That recognition is the beginning of a change. And you have an opportunity to turn around and be back in closer fellowship with God and allow him to use you. The altar is certainly be open here, but you can pray where you are. If you'd like to come speak to me, I'd be glad to speak some words of encouragement and have prayer with you. Also, if you're here and you would like to be a part of this fellowship, you say, I haven't really plugged into a place that I can serve and I feel comfortable serving. College Park is a wonderful body of believers who does seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We'd be glad to receive you. There's many ways we receive members. We'd be glad to share those with you. But whatever your response is this morning, make it to Christ. Be honest. He knows your heart. Be honest with him as we stand and sing together now.
remain standing for the benediction. And following the benediction, I want to ask Ruby if you would come stand with me. And I want to give our people a chance to thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being here. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. Father, the warm fellowship we've enjoyed. Father, the praise and the worship of you. Father, as we go, we pray that we would truly be the hands and feet of Christ for a world that's desperate, for a world that needs to hear how much you care, but ultimately also how much we care. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.